We're thankful for your presence this evening. It's always good to see visitors with us. We want you to know that you're very welcome and encourage you to come and be with us whenever you have the opportunity, even if that's every one of our services. Somebody once said, when you first come, you're a visitor, and you come again, then what's the rest of it? You're part of the family or something? Your family. Okay. All right. So maybe we'd like to make that a thing. Tonight I want to talk to you about the comfort of being in Christ. Of course, several of our members have had health problems and various other problems in their life. Debbie and I are going through the things that we're going through with her leg that's probably related to someplace in her back. Sometimes life gets uncertain and you don't know what's going to happen, and it's easy to get depressed, I think, sometimes. And the Bible has a lot to say about times of uncertainty and the desire to be comforted. And I just want to consider a few things with you along those lines this evening. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." Of course, it's when we talk about every spiritual blessing that's in Christ, we've talked about that just recently in a couple of lessons and noted many of those spiritual blessings, but certainly one of them is the comfort that we find in God, and we need to be assured of that comfort. Last week we talked about the assurance of prayer. That does God hear prayer? Does God answer prayer? Can we be sure of that? Yeah, it's a matter of faith, and God wants us to be assured of that. So He also wants us to be assured of His concern for us and His desire to comfort us. And that comfort, we're going to see, comes from knowing Him through His Word and trusting His Word. So the blessing of God's comfort in times of trouble is what we'd like to look at first. In John chapter 16 and verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, is now come, that you," speaking to the apostles, "will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone." How do you think that left Jesus? How do you think Jesus felt about being left alone? Surprisingly, you might think, well, Jesus should never feel alone. But the indication here is that he did. "Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." You're going to leave me alone, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. But that fact of that he was not alone was because of his assurance that the Father was with him. He never doubted that. But without the Father, without that assurance, he would feel the same loneliness that you and I feel. He goes on to say, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have spoken these things to you, that in me you may have peace." Jesus said, "I understand your loneliness. I understand your insecurity. I understand that what I've just said to you is difficult for you to take in. You're going to be scattered." For 3 years they've been together. There's going to be some doubting on their parts. But he says, I want you to have peace. What you're experiencing because of what I've said has caused some tribulation, and the things that you're going to see in the next few hours are going to cause some tribulation. The things you're going to see in the next few years of your ministry are going to cause some tribulation. You're going to experience things that you're going to wonder if, is God with us or not? But he says, "I have spoken these things to you that you may have peace. You will have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." It's interesting. This is recorded by John here in the Gospel of John. As we turn over to the epistles of John, John teaches us that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I have a tendency to think that he was reflecting upon this time in the life of Jesus and these words of Jesus. That Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And John there is reminding us in the epistles that if Christ is in us, Christian, if Christ is in you, you can overcome the world, regardless of the tribulation that you are facing. And so I want us to recognize here, just as we did last week, and we talked about prayer and prayer being something that is assured to the family of God, but this blessing that we have of comfort in times of trouble was certainly made available to Israel. And I hope you'll see how this all ties together as we go through the lesson. Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 26 through 31. You know, as you're looking at Isaiah chapter 40, there's been a lot of Isaiah already here. And Isaiah has told him about, you're going to be led away into captivity. There's going to be a remnant that will be returned. There's going to be difficult times ahead. It's all because of your sin. All of that was hard to hear. There's the question of, well, has God given up on Israel? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number, calls them all by name, by the greatest of his might and strength of his power. Not one is missing. Look at all God's creation. In particular, I think he's talking about even at night, look out into space, see the stars in the sky. God created it all. He knows the names of each and every one. Not a single one of his creation, whether it be in space or on earth, not a single one is insignificant to God. He created each one for a purpose. And he created us for a purpose. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God? My request of God, God's not hearing me. God doesn't care about me. Why are you saying, Israel, that your way is hidden from God, that he can't see your tribulation? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God's not like you. God doesn't get tired of the tribulations that face his people and the difficulties they're going through. It's not like he said, well, I'm going to go off on vacation for a while. All of these things are things that man thought about God. Man had a tendency to create God in their own image, and thus you have all of the Greek gods of mythology and so forth. But the God of Israel was not like man either. He is everlasting. He is almighty. His deeds are known to the ends of the earth. He doesn't fade. He doesn't get weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Yes, he does understand. He gives power to the weak and to those who have no might. He increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Physically, we realize that the young have more strength and more energy than those who are older. But here God says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. Yeah, youths get tired. Even the greatest of all time back here gets tired playing basketball and different sport, right? Shake your heads and say, agree. Okay, good. Don't let me down here. But he says, those who wait on the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, those who trust in Almighty God, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth that does not faint or get weary. Those who trust in Him, he says, doesn't matter if they're young or old. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Never give up. Never quit. Always keep their eyes on the task at hand to live to the honor and the praise and the glory of God. Again, we turn to Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 10. He says, but you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest regions and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There's the key. Do you want to be helped by God? Do you want to have this assurance of God's comfort in times of trouble? It all comes from depending on His revealed righteousness that is revealed in His Word. These words of God are giving assurance to Israel. Yes, it's difficult, it's hard. Lot aren't going to return. A remnant will return. What were you before you were Israel? Nothing. You weren't a nation. I made you a nation. From one man and his wife, my friend Abraham, and his wife Sarah. Now, if I can do that, I can bring a remnant out of captivity. You just be faithful. Think about all that that generation was going through, all that they saw, and all of the doubts, and all of the tribulation that they were experiencing, and yet God is saying, trust me. Do you think these words encourage them to trust Him? I do. They encourage me. In Romans chapter 9, and verses 6 through 8, he says, it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. Now, we've talked about Israel and God's words of comfort to Israel, and this is a little bit different context, but it's still the same application. They are not all, you can put in air quotes, Israel who are of Israel. Nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. But God's promise to Abraham and God's statement to Abraham was, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Remember, Abraham and Sarah got kind of tired for waiting for the promise. Well, maybe God meant that I could have a child of one of our servants. And they would be that descendant. No, nope, that's not it either. They tried that twice. God said, nope. You understood what I said when I said it to you, and it hasn't changed. Don't go back and try to redefine what I said to you. We have a tendency to do that today too, don't we? In Isaac, your seed shall be called. That is, those who are not the children of the flesh, but those who are the children of the promise shall be counted as the seed. In Abraham, in the seed, all nations shall be blessed. That seed of the promised one, Isaac. the promise. It goes to the promise. It goes to the fact that you can trust the faithful statement of Christ, of God. Notice again, they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are of the seed of Abraham. Those who are of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But it is the children of the promise who are counted as the seed. So when you think about that, what he is saying here, then, and if you meditate on it, then you recognize that what God was saying to Israel, as applicable as it was for them in their day and time, what he was saying to physical Israel also applies to spiritual Israel. That just as physical Israel was going through a time of great difficulty and had, you might say, reason to question and doubt whether God still remembered them or not, all mankind goes through that. And Christians in every generation go through times in their life that they have those questions. And so, what God assured physical Israel of, he assures spiritual Israel of. In fact, this passage is saying that in the context of Romans chapter 9, that what was said to physical Israel really found its fulfillment in spiritual Israel, the church, the saved. In Galatians 6 and verses 15 and 16, we're told, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. What avails something is whether you are a new creation, whether you have been born again, that you have become dead to yourself and dead to your sin and risen to walk in newness of life with Christ, to live in righteousness to His praise and to His glory. Verse 16, he says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. That's the church, the saved. Peace and mercy be upon them. Many times the Jews would greet each other with shalom, peace. Peace be upon you. Peace, especially from God. May you be at peace with God, in fellowship with God. Peace and mercy be upon those who walk according to this rule of the new creation, of being born again. Mercy is such a blessing. Mercy. Guilty of sin. But God says, let's not account it as sin. Let's not take that into account. That's mercy. Who receives mercy? Well, in a general sense, the general mercy of God has been extended to all mankind. But the special mercy of God is reserved for those who are walking according to the rule of Christ. They have a special reason to look for the mercy of God because they are the Israel of God. They are of the promise that they are blessed. And so we can read Psalm 23 and verses 1 through 6 as Israel of old certainly read it. And they were comforted, and we can be comforted. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to be concerned about being in want. He's going to provide everything that I have need of. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Not just pastures, but green pastures. Luscious pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Not just that I have water, but I don't have to worry about rushing water that might be dangerous. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod, Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare my table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's people that want me destroyed. There's people who don't want me around. But my focus is upon the Lord who prepares the table before me. I don't have need of anything. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That comfort was assured to Israel of old, and it's assured to the Israel of today as well, the spiritual Israel, the church. Hebrews 13 and verses 5 and 6 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you,' so that we may boldly or confidently say, 'The Lord is my helper. The Lord is my shepherd. I will not fear. I will not be afraid. I will not doubt. What can man do to me?'" Well, man can reject you. Man can be your enemy. Man can tell lies about you. Man can put you down and make you feel bad. Man can kill you. But they can't separate you from God. They can't take your blessings that God has blessed you with in Christ away from you. Your cup will run over as you continue to serve Him and walk in righteousness. And so Psalm 118 and verses 5 and 6 says, "I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place." It's an interesting statement, isn't it? Jesus said, "Straight the way, narrow is the way that leads unto life." I thought we were supposed to be in the narrow way, God, Doug. Yeah, we are. But the narrow way is the safe way. That's what He's talking about here. He set me in a broad way, in a broad place. If you're sitting on a plateau someplace, a mesa, if you will, pretty secure on that mesa, aren't you? Pretty safe. The Lord has set me in a broad place, in a safe place. The Lord is on my side. I called on the Lord in distress, but I'm safe. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do me? I can do a lot. But the Lord is on my side, and I'm on His side. I'll continue in His way, in His word, and do His will and live for Him to His glory. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all of your care upon Him, for He cares for you." Cast all of your care upon Him. Are you troubled about something? Cast all of your care upon Him. And you have the assurance that He cares for you. Psalm 31, verses 21 through 24. "Blessed be the Lord, for He has shown me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. You know, like Israel that we were talking about. David says, you know, there were times in my life that I thought, I'm cut off from the Lord. Things don't look so good. It looks so bad as with, where's the Lord? I'm cut off from your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Now, he's not saying that the faithful are the proud. He's saying the proud are the enemies, are your enemies. They want to exalt themselves. They want to have the preeminence. God will take care of them. He's going to preserve the faithful. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. I said in my haste, I'm cut off from God. But I was wrong. I'm not. He cares for me. He's watching for me. He preserves the faithful. He will trust him, and he will strengthen your heart. Keep your hope in the Lord. So yes, the blessing of God's comfort in times of trouble are available to us. But also, all of God's blessings are found in Christ, as we saw in Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ. So now notice with me also Romans 3 and verse 24, that we being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have mercy with God. We have peace and mercy with God as we abide in him. Now he's talking about justification. Declared right before God. Justified. How can that happen? By his grace. By him providing the propitiation, the price for our sins, and the life of his son and the blood of his son. We have redemption in Christ Jesus. Chapter 8 of Romans and verse 39. He's saying neither height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Galatians 3 and verses 26 and 27. You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. What's he talking about? There is neither Jew nor Greek. Well, there's still Jew or Greek, isn't there? There's all races of people today. There is neither male nor female. Yes, there is. There's males and females here. There's neither slave nor free. Yeah, there are free people on the earth and there are slaves today. But Christ sees them all the same. God sees all the same. Not one exalted above the other. If you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and thy seed, all nations shall be blessed. If you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Been baptized into Christ, been born again, been born of the seed of the Word of God, revealed by the Holy Spirit, recorded by men who were led by the Holy Spirit to reveal this word to us so that we can be found in his favor, in his grace, that we can claim this redemption that is in Christ, that we can participate in the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is such comfort to being in Christ. trusting in His promises, embracing these promises, being assured of these promises. And in our times of trouble, in our times of distress, these are the times that we need to remember that we're not the first one to go through something like that. David went through it. Israel went through it. The apostles went through it. Even Jesus, to some extent, went through it. It was His ever-knowing assurance from His Father, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you," that got Him through all that He had to go through, even in those darkest hours. Don't ever doubt God. Always trust Him and realize that what He has promised, He can deliver and He will deliver. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you haven't been born again, but it's your desire to be a child of God, to participate in these blessings that are freely given to us in Christ, would you please let it be known? We're ready to assist you. And if you're ready to live for Him, then we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.